Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Everybody, I want to welcome you. We got a great show. I am so thrilled. You know, let me just start out by saying this. I was just talking with somebody a little while ago this morning, and they were asking me about what the 20-year journey was like. And I guess my subconscious mind knew I was going to be talking with Brett Hill today. You know, my subconscious mind just like had this, they had this laid down. Brett Hill, right? The Connected Conversation and so much more. But here's what I said. I said, let me tell you how I know that I've grown. I said, 20 years ago, I got my first request to interview somebody on mindfulness. It came from Gail Tour on a book that she had 20 years ago. And I found out years later, I was the only one that said yes for that interview. Now, here's what Gail didn't know. I was clueless about what that meant. So if you can imagine being Brett, who is a international thought leader, a leader in this field, not just understands the ins and outs of it, but understands how every day in our lives, there is a way that we can show up that changes the game. And when you think about this and you think about connecting and you think about what Brett has done, shifting paradigms, changing all of this, and now the host of an incredible show, bringing a message to the forefront, I am so glad for me that I said yes to this publicist out of LA on a word that I basically had never heard before. But today, it is not a word. It's more than that. Today's show is the path to deeper meaning and connection. It is so important for us to not lose this. Indigenous people have gone to extraordinary lengths not to lose their stories and their storytelling. And in the world we live in today, millions of people think they're only as good as their last tweet, their last like, or their last whatever. Today, we want to shake that up. Brett, it's great to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you so much. Wow. Such a great introduction and so spot on about, you know, the state of affairs for today. It's beautiful.
You know, I tried to do something. So you're going to know this, what I'm about to say, because you're on the other end of this. So you're going to understand what I'm saying. So what I decided to do is, because you and I are on a mission. We may not be on the same mission, but we really are on a mission that points to, let's just call, very similar value systems. For me, I know I want to create a world through, you know, what I call now positive-centric living. You know, positive-centric living to me allows people to understand what that zone is. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I'm not positive all the time. Just ask my team. They'll tell you. But here we are, and we now see something in the world. Let me ask you this. I got to ask you, from where you sit, we've coming out of 3 years, wrote my senator today. I reminded my senator, hello, it's not over for small businesses. Can't get a response. We have so many tools available to us. The information we really need, we can't get. The information that probably we don't need, we have too much of. Explain the chaos we're in the middle of with this.
Well, you're absolutely right. We are in a lot of chaos. If you look at simply the amount of information that's available to humanity, there's a chart I've seen. It's amazing. It's sort of like, you know, because it used to be, what was it? Libraries and newspapers and magazines. And, you know, there was a day, believe it or not, when computers didn't have an image of every single document on the planet available to you wherever you are on the planet. And so there's a chart of the amount of information that's being created, that has been created, that's available. And it basically starts, you know, pretty low to the bottom line, and then just goes along slightly increasing, and then just shoots up at the end, because the amount of information that we have available to us is doubling at astronomical rates. And this is very interesting phenomena, because we don't know who we are in a world where there is unlimited amounts of access to unlimited amounts of information. It's never happened to humanity before. And so who are we in this world of we can find out anything, anytime about anything you care to? And so the question is, how do we organize now that this is true? How do you arrange your life? In addition to that, you lay over the intent of many of the mediums to actually capture your attention and to get you excited about the engagement rather than deliver information. In other words, the social media scenarios, and I'm not down on social media, so don't misinterpret it as I'm technophobe, because I'm completely the opposite. I'm a hardcore geek.
I am too, right?
Yeah.
But maybe that's why we're a little bit more aware.
Well, it, at least that means, I think, for the people who are kind of geeky, that there's a curiosity, like, how does this work? What can this do for me? How do I engage with this? So that's a healthy brain factor, right? Like being more present with what becomes possible. But we haven't really looked at what becomes possible in terms of what's the impact of all of these forces on us today. And the impact may not be that positive force as a whole.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk to you about this too, because I'm going to go ahead and skip this blip. Let's just keep rolling here. Because I do believe people are in search for what's meaningful. Mm-hmm. I also do believe that it's very hard to discern what's really meaningful for them. There are just so many choices. And I got dinged because I got a little ding. Let me just call it a ding. I get dinged all the time. So, okay. You just can't be me and not get dinged for something I say. Yeah. But I got this ding because what I did was I made a comment, a positive comment about Gigi Hadid. A fabulous model, just amazing young woman who is co-host of a fashion show. Look, I can't sew to save my life. I don't know anything about fashion design, but I love the creativity. So I don't plug into regular, what do you call it, TV stuff. I don't hit the commercials. Here's why. What I realized is, and I don't care if you fast forward, I'm very selective on what I watch, but even what I watch, I'm watching something that tells me my health is failing. I'm never going to have enough insurance. That whatever drug I think I'm taking is never going to be good enough. Please make sure your doctor gives you this one, because it has at least 20 more side effects that you may want.
Oh my God, it's your body. Terrifying, isn't it?
It's terrifying. And so I made I was talking about Gigi Hadid, and I don't know that she broke up with her baby daddy or whatever they're talking about. But I commented that I really love the show, not knowing. And this is why Jessica and Linda are like, do not post anything, Pat. Please stay off of social media.
And here you are talking about it.
And I'm talking about it because it has its value. And I want to say how, and I want you to take this away. How did it have value? I'll tell you how. During COVID, none of us could figure out how to get PPP for a business. And this attorney got on social media and he was literally helping us fill out the forms. I do not think that I would have gotten any support for my company without this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we sift through this, Brett? you know, how do we go through knowing when we're at the crossroads or the cross line of disconnection?
Yep.
When we think we are connecting.
Well, you have to, at some point or another, if you think you're connecting and you're not, at some point or another, your world is going to be pretty stressful because you're under this idea that you're connecting to your actual experience of life. But really what you're connecting to is your ideas, your fears, your concerns, your hopes, your dreams. Maybe it's you're walking around worried that you're not going to get a job, you're going to lose a job, that something's going to happen to you, something's going to happen to somebody else. And if that's what you're connected to 24/7, that's not being connected to what's actually happening in front of your eyes. It's being connected to worries, hopes, dreams, fears. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's just a matter of, is that the world that you want to have? And what happens over time is that there's a price to pay for not being able to just look up and see something beautiful that's right in front of your eyes because you're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday. You can live your whole life that way. And there's plenty of people that are happy to inject ideas into your head. Like you said on TV, it's like, if you can just buy this car, you're going to look great. And by the way, this perfume is going to make you as cool as Johnny Depp. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, wait, what? And the answer to that is to get conscious, to get present with what is your actual experience in the moment. Yeah. And being able to name that, like being able to say, oh, right now, I don't feel really that great, and I'd really like to feel better. Once you get in touch with, I'd really like to feel better, then you have a motivation to actually do something about it. Like, and it starts very, very simply.
Yeah.
Notice the goodness that happens 1,000 times a day in your life, every day. You just aren't paying attention to it.
I love this. You know, I get to hang out with people of all different ages. I do. I work with teens in recovery. I'm around younger people. I love kids. So try this one on. Another pop culture reference. I hope you're ready for it.
I don't know.
But it's really representative. So I'm with this young, like, what is this size? That size. And they know I grew up with comic books. That was my escape. Comic books, Marvel, whatever you want to call them, Superman. So she says to me, my mother told me that we're not going to see another Wonder Woman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm not sure. I said, yes, your mom's right. And I said, why do you think your mom told you that? And she said, well, because I've been planning for it. It was supposed to be, she knew everything. Supposed to come out here. I had my costume, da 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 da. And I said, well, you know, it's Hollywood. It's like a movie. And so the people that run the movie, like your mom runs a company, she makes decisions, like the movie decision makers, they make a decision and they decided they weren't going to do that one. They may not even, and I said, you know, they may not even release Captain Marvel either. And so that was the wrong thing to say to this kid. So the kid looked at me, this young girl, and she looked at me and she said, Miss Patty, which she calls me. So many stupid people in Hollywood. Now, so look, this is the influence at, how old is she? Eight years old. Eight. So I'm having an adult conversation with an eight-year-old mm-hmm. about something relevant in pop culture that may not happen that she's already disappointed on.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that's bad? No. I then spent the next hour with her talking about what may happen, right? Because I realized she was eight and I gave mm-hmm. her double bad news.
Mm-hmm.
You see, let's talk about connecting to what's meaningful. For this eight-year-old, that was meaningful in the moment because there's an iconic figure called Wonder Woman. In the world we live in, we are connected to a lot of different things, but they're not the problem, are they?
They're only the problem to the degree that they dominate your consciousness. And there's a fine line here, because we don't want to say, put your head in the sand and ignore all the badness in the world. But I have a saying that it goes like this. It's like, in a world with unlimited beauty and unlimited injustice, who do you choose to be, considering that you have limited time?
Wow. I want to go over that with you, because one of the things I know you do is you help people understand how to connect to what's really meaningful. And it sounds like that saying is a saying, but it's also a way of being.
Exactly.
You know, is that the way of being that gets us to really get to the place where we can connect to what's really meaningful for us?
It's a phrase that helps, I hope, to help give people the notion that you can curate your experience. Like you were saying, you don't watch television because of the bad messaging. You're taking an active role in curating your experience. You're saying, I choose not to be in to receive that kind of experience. And it's not like you're trying to avoid the bonus in the world. You're just saying, this is not good for me. I don't want it. And with all the stuff that's happening in the world, you can live in a place where you are constantly agitated, activated, enraged, and overdriven around the things that need to be done. And they do need to be done. So the question isn't, does it need to be done? It's, what is your relationship to it? And if you connect to the you that wants to make things right, the you that wants things to be healthy, whole, beautiful, supportive, nurturing, and enlivening, and you work your activism through that space, it has a completely different way of engaging. It changes the conversation, and it changes the outcomes of the things that you do as well.
You know, I wasn't joking. I want to follow up with having you talk a little bit more about this in this way. I wasn't joking when I said 20 years ago, I really wasn't sure what mindfulness was, but I thought, let me do that interview, right? And actually, it was one of the interviews that changed my life. I mean, it changed a lot of things for me. And I'm a work in progress, but so important what you said. There are people, and I have a friend, a very dear friend, suffering is a good word. Suffering's a good word. But the suffering is not necessarily towards the television commercials or things like that. There's an inner thing that happens when we look inside or inward. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know I've done it. I've made a commitment to myself to do it. And I wish I could say that it's my happy place. But I know what happens if I don't look inward. Can you explain a little bit more about not just the dynamic of that, but the power of that?
Well, that's a really important question. There is no way to connect authentically with the world outside of you unless you can connect with who you are inside. It's the same skill. It's about authentic connection. And if you're connected to just your thoughts and feelings that are kind of, you're awash in them, then that you're not in the right kind of state of mind, state of being to actually be present for other people and the rest of your life. So it really is crucial that you take some time to simply be thoughtful, present, and aware of. And a very simple question is, take 5 minutes and get into a contemplative place and ask yourself this question: what's it like to be me? Mm. What's it like to be me? Oh, I'm just wound and I'm chasing. Okay. Now the next part of that is open acceptance rather than judgment. Because what happens with mindful training is that people begin to like pay attention to what their experience is inside. And the first thing that happens is they realize, it's kind of noisy in here. And it's really kind of maybe not that pleasant. And I have this voice that says, you're not doing this right. This is stupid. You're wasting time. And they stop, right? Because But the way you have to be able to just name and notice and accept. So that's the method that I use. It's like name, notice, and accept. So it's like, actually, it's like notice, name, accept. So notice, oh, I'm having this voice that says, you don't know what you're doing. This is a waste of time. But rather than step into that and go, that's who I am, you just say, that's just a voice in my head that is saying that. I'm experiencing that, but that's not who I am. Now, I want to double down on that. I'm experiencing that, but it's not who I am. I'm someone who's having that thought or that feeling, but I am not that thought or feeling. Now, that right there is a huge, huge awakening or insight for someone to have.
Yeah. What you're talking about is we get a duality in our identity. It's an identity crisis when we flip-flop, right? In my language, flip-flop's not a very technical term, but when we have those moments where we say something and then we start to believe it, right? Or we believe it and then we say it. I'm not sure if it's the chicken or the egg, but it doesn't matter, does it?
Not really, in some ways. The point is your consciousness, your identity, you get attached to the idea before you even know that there's a choice to be had.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. But before we do, look, one of the things I want everyone to know here, Brett, is it's an understatement when I say you're a leader in this field. Mm-hmm. You are somebody that has written a script in this field. You're rewriting it. You're out in the world. You teach it. You work with people one-on-one because you understand the power on the inside and the power that which people can have to live a great life on the outside. And this right here has been the missing link for so many people. It is impossible for me to spend the time to literally depict what people have gone through the past years that they're not talking about, but they're carrying.
Yeah.
I want folks to know, one, tell them about your show, and also, how do they work with you? How can they get started with their own mindfulness practice?
So I have a show on the network called Connected Conversation, and it comes out twice a month. And so I talk a lot about the kinds of things we're talking about and techniques and things that you can do that you can take back. And you can sign up there for my mailing list and we'll stay in touch. I do one-on-one work where you can reach me at bretthill.coach, bretthill.coach. And people can sign up on my calendar. I'll be happy to talk to you about doing some work. And I also teach coaches. So I have very specific training for coaches and other helping professionals. If you work with people in some way and you want to be more mindful and present in your engagement with them, I have a whole training on that.
Yeah. It's essential. Anybody out there that's a coach that you haven't gone through this training, I'm going to tell you, it is super essential. Because if you have signed up to become a coach, which means you're helping other people, there is an extraordinary opportunity to do that in a way that you've never done before, but also in a way where you understand that part of mindfulness, we'll talk about this when we come back, part of, the connected conversation, part of mindfulness is also an aspect of self-care. We're going to take a short break. Yeah. When we come back, this is more than a solution. This mm-hmm. can be a life changer and a game changer because we don't even know what we know. We don't know what we don't know about the impact of the past 3 years and even now. Mm-hmm. We don't know this. Boy, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
You can't just fix yourself on the outside and expect the inside to follow. Whether you're 5 or 85, healthy living can begin whenever you decide you want a better life. Tune into Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn about implementing a daily routine and finding a balance to improve your life. Learn to live agelessly. go to BarbaraScheidegger.com. That's Barbara, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-G-G-E-R.com.
When you feel the world is sitting on your shoulders, or your body is screaming at you to get help or get well, or emotionally you are spent, Deb Weinberger can help you in your healing journey. You've heard Deb on the Angel Empowerment Show, and she can support you on your healing journey. She offers several types of alternative healing, assisting you to thrive in an energy-charged world. You can book your session with Deb at onawinghealing.com.
You have one life to live. You want to spend it doing something you enjoy, and that has meaning. If you're listening to this, then you're among the many who feel that the work they're doing is no longer a fit. My comprehensive coaching will support you and help you figure it out. I've coached hundreds of people through career transition. Visit my website today to book a free call, www.reinventing-u.com, when what you do matches who you are.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm so thrilled to have Brett joining me here today, Brett Hill. Before we get rolling, one more time, how do people find out about you? How do they work with you? Please get them to the right place. Listen to the show, all of the above.
Well, you can find a website, theconnectedconversation.com, where I've got a newsletter sign up so you can stay in touch with what I'm doing. I have so many things going on, including the podcast, which I'm just really so happy to have on your network.
I love it.
Yeah. And so you can find my newsletter there. You can also find me at bretthill.coach, B-R-E-T-T Hill at dot coach. So it's not dot com, it's dot coach, which is interesting. And you can find my content there and ways to engage. You can create a free session and find out if we can work together. You can also find my training for coaches. There's just my blog there, which I write regularly, the Mindful Coach newsletter. So many ways to engage. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. So many ways to really get connected to what you really want is what he's trying to say. I think he's being a little modest on that. But, mm-hmm. You know, this is going to help everybody now because, you know, look, this is your show. I love this because I was so honored to be able to take this journey with you, the Connected Conversation. What I love about this, and this is what I learned because I didn't know. When people hear things like mindfulness, they really don't understand what we're talking about. I had somebody say to me, wow, that's like if you live in Tibet and you're like on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's like if you're the Dalai Lama. I said, oh, I think the Dalai Lama lost Tibet, but I think I know what you mean. Just saying right there with that one. That's like talking about the Pope not being in Rome. But what I realized, and this is why I'm excited to talk to you today, we're talking about living everyday life. Mm-hmm. Practical situations.
Yeah.
That's what I love about your approach. This is the rubber meets the road, right? This is where mindfulness is not something for 1%. Mindfulness is as old as you can get for people to figure out ridiculously complicated things to get done in the world with not the tools. Why do you think they were able to do this? And tell us about your show, literally focusing, leaning towards these ordinary conversations, extraordinary experiences.
Yeah. So the thing is, when we, mindfulness is actually our natural state, in my opinion. It's like if we didn't have all the complexity of the world we have, if we were wandering around like Native Americans might do in a world where there's not like a bazillion, we don't have taxes to file, you don't have to worry about what your store you're going to shop at, how you're going to keep your car maintained if you have a car, you know, how do you connect, how do you get your phone? If you didn't have all that, if you just subtracted all of it, and really it was just you and your people, and nature, and that's all you had to deal with. And imagine the decompression that would happen, that, you know, you don't have to fill out any insurance forms. You don't have to drive to a hospital. You know, there's like, what would happen to us? our nervous system. What would happen to our nervous systems? Well, we'd be a lot more in touch with our natural world. That would be the first thing that would happen. Your senses would be a lot more important to you. In fact, I'm kind of hot on writing an article right now called Coming to Your Senses, because really, truly, the world we live in is organized around disconnecting us from our senses. There's way too many inputs. There's way too much noise. There's way too many choices. We're just overloaded all the time. And Gabor Mate has a great book out called The Myth of Normal. And this sense of being disconnected from what's true and real in our lives has become normal. This is what the way we all, and from that place of disconnection, what kinds of governments do you create? What kinds of organizations do you have? What kinds of technology do you build? And all of it becomes more kind of disconnection, facilitating that, because it's built from a place of that.
Yeah.
Now, there is beginning to be a shift towards people who are saying, no, I'm not going to work in a place that's actually driving me into burnout. You know, it's important to me to have meaningful work. So this desire for meaning is universal in people. Every single person on the planet wants to connect to something that's powerful, meaningful, true. They want to feel good. We all want to feel good about our lives. We want to be appreciated. We want to be supported. We want to be able to enjoy love, beauty, peace, justice, have a life that's full of goodness.
Yeah.
That's our natural state.
You're going to love this then. I got into a little bit of debate. This is, again, why they tell me stay away from social media. I don't do bad things, but when the term quiet quitting came out, I traced it back to the person that originated it. And he was referring to and was part of, I believe, a generation. Millennials, XYZ. But he was referring, a blanket referral, to those people.
Mm-hmm.
The younger generation of people quiet quitting. So I looked at that, and I looked at the meaning of quiet quitting, and I looked around at my staff, and then I pinged him back, and I wrote him a pretty lengthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, in the world where we're trying not to categorize, we're trying not to put people and lump them in groups, we're trying not to really, you know, come up with something that really will hold people back. I said, it's so interesting that you came out with a term that describes multi-generational people as pretty much being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me just give you a clue. If you want to give credit to that generation that literally started that, and this is what I said, go back to the repeal of the psychological contract of work in 1992, when people decided you didn't get to work for years and get rewarded. Now, the aftermath of that, and I said to him, created a wave where people looked inward on what their purpose in life is. What's really important to them? You know, what were they going to do for the next generation? How were they going to repair their finances after their benefits were cut? And I said, and you know, so my point to this is that we live in a world where just two words, quiet quitting, could label an entire generation that make CEOs of companies react to it and have a negative impact of people from that age group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sitting here talking with you about connecting, about understanding what's important. And I realized, back to my point, your point, why would people want to give 900,000,000%? And I studied this for 10 years, by the way. Why would we still think, especially after COVID, that people in general would not be interested in finding a purposeful meaning outside of work? You see, I think we have an opportunity here, and I think it's showing up in many ways. But to label a group of people as something that they may or may not be, and to instill that in consciousness, has fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, but what if these people were so mindful of their own life situation. What if they had a mindfulness moment, Brett?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
A mindfulness moment where they looked around and they said, my inward person doesn't want to suffer anymore,
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to settle anymore. You see, it's a very generic conclusion to come to that must have started from some inward pain. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. All of this, all human change starts from some pain, right?
And so kidding.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't want this experience anymore, whatever it is, right? This is a technique. I actually teach this in my class for coaches. I learned it when I was studying somatic psychotherapy, called reference for the preference. And what you do is you, with coaches, the very first thing I do in my classes, I say, okay, so let's just sit and talk about how are you, what are you doing, what's good for you, how do you like your work, blah, blah, blah. And we just talk, just normally. And then I say, okay, now let's take a moment and just get present. And by that, I mean, just make the intention to really pay attention. Check in with how you're feeling right now. Slow things down. Really look at the people that are here. Really see their faces. And now I want to have you do the exact same thing. Just talk about what's going on for you, who you are, what's life for you. But do it from this other place. And then they do that for a few minutes. And then I come back and say, now, which of these experiences do you prefer? And they go, well, gosh, it was so much juicier and there was so much more connection in the second time around. And so I said, so in this case, so there's the reference for the preference. The first one was just normal. And the second one was like so much better. And then I ask an important question and say, for you as a coach or a professional who helps other people, do you think that just this one thing would help you be better in your work? And they all go, oh my God, yes, of course. And I go, well, that lesson in and of itself is worth the cost of the course, right? Because it truly is foundational and changes everything in your personal and professional life. If you can remember to simply bring more of who you are into your conversations.
Yeah. See, this is why it's so important for me, especially in the show, what you do, what I do, is to remind everybody that we're not talking about concepts which are extraordinary, difficult to understand.
Right,
we're
exactly.
talking about how to take something, incorporate in your everyday life to carve a pathway to freedom.
That's right. Exactly. And you said it beautifully, carve a pathway to freedom, because in the end, mindfulness is about freedom.
Yeah. I want to ask you something. First of all, I love the way you approach the conversations in the show, but I want to talk to you a little bit. I don't want to run out of time to do this, so I want to make sure I talk to you about this. Is there's a process to become mindful. I didn't know this, by the way. I didn't know this years ago, but there's a process. So for people that are listening, let me just put it in different. There's a way to go about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just break it down simply. There's a way to go about this. There's a way to cook, right? You're going to cook something, there's a way to cook. You're going to work out, there's a way to work out.
Yeah, there's a way to ride a bike.
There's a way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you help people understand. This is what you do. This is what you help. Can you talk about the relationship for people? Because I think this is the hiccup, Brett.
Okay.
It was for me until I understood it. Between meditation and mindfulness.
Sure, we can talk about that. After the break?
No break. Let's just keep going.
Okay, let's just go.
Let's go.
All right.
Come on.
Yeah, mindfulness and meditation. So it's like meditation is a practice where you sit down and you pay attention inside. And there are many, many forms of meditation. Mindfulness meditation is a particular form of meditation. There are also energetic meditations, spiritual meditations, Buddhist meditation. There's many, many kinds. It's not the same thing as mindfulness. So let's be sure we separate those things out. It's a skill. Mindfulness is a state of awareness where you are paying attention to your experience. And there's a few other caveats in there. non-judgmentally and in the moment. So you're just watching. It's like I said earlier, just paying attention to who am I now? What's going on for me now? So let me give you another example of a way you can be mindful that has nothing to do with meditation. You step outside of your door, you look up in the sky, and you see a beautiful sky. You go, oh, beautiful sky. Great. And you get in your car or you walk away and you do the next thing. You look at your phone. And that moment, you noticed it, but then you just blew right by it, right? That's not so much a mindful moment. Now, here's a mindful moment. You look at the sky and you go, oh, beautiful sky. And you notice, oh, my God, I'm connecting to beauty. I'm connecting to something that's amazing, which is a gigantic, vast, deeply gorgeous sky overhead. I don't have any boundary between the top of my head and outer space. How magnificent and awe-inspiring is that? And if you notice that moment and then you say, you know what? I am just going to hang out here for about 5 seconds and let myself feel being in contact with this gorgeousness. Now you've turned what is an ordinary experience into an extraordinary moment because you've chosen to be present with your in-the-moment experience. That's a pure moment of mindfulness. It has nothing to do with meditation.
I love that you did that. I was on a call this morning with one of our hosts who lives in the big nature, like in the middle of our call, and we were talking. She looks out the window and she said, I have to stop. There's a wolf.
Wow.
Right. Now, how is this? I'm going to tell you how this is related. And I said to her, you've got to be kidding. Take a picture for me because that's one of my totems. That's one of my guides. I was given that guide in 1997 and I'm still learning what that means. She said, so you're the one that brought. Here we are in the middle of a thing, a work thing. And just from the side of her eye, she sees something and takes a moment to honor it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so grateful for that moment, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I got a picture. She said she thought it was a coyote or a wolf. And I took one look at the picture and I'm like, way too wide for a coyote. But that moment. And of course, we continued what we were doing. But see, that moment's going to stay with me. It's going to stay with her. It's the connected conversation, right?
Yeah.
Would you say, is that a decent example?
Sure. Well, the point is being present for what's happening in the moment and then letting yourself experience that. So that's the keys. Like in this case, I was using the sky, you're noticing I'm in the presence of magnificent beauty. I'm going to give myself a moment to let myself actually have that.
Yeah.
And there's a million times a day you can do that. A flower. What is it that, another thing I teach in my class and my clients is what is it that lights you up? Like, let's make a list. What lights you up? And then you start organizing around letting yourself have those moments more fully. Very, very important to be able to do that. Not just because it gives you a better moment of your life, but you're actually training your brain to seek and find those delicious moments that are natural and abundant in our world.
Yeah. You see, there's a part of what you do and the way you do it is so important and it's so relevant to the world we live in. Because I want to go back to where we started for a minute. Burnout, mm-hmm. exhaustion, whatever you want to call it, overstimulation with information. Wonder Woman 3 is canceled, whatever it may be, right? Because if you're the mom of my beautiful 8-year-old friend, this is not going to go away. Mm-hmm. And in a mom's world today, that mom has to have a moment that you just described in the busiest and busiest of days for moms.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here and your show's here to show us that we can make a different choice. Is that true?
Yes, you can make a choice of like, yeah, so she's having a bad moment around, you know, the show isn't going to happen, but her connection to what it means to her is alive and well. And so you can facilitate towards helping her embody the spirit of what it is that wakes up in her because she's in rapport with that. That isn't going to go away regardless of the characters that she's seeing or is attached to, or that the movie does, because the movies are always going to change. Change, yeah. That's always going to happen. But what isn't going to change is the spirit in her that responds to that. And when you're in touch with that, then the disappointment begins to take a back seat, because that's always alive.
Yeah. Now, fast forward to when this kid grows up, because you're going to find with this. You ready? The next word out of her mom's an attorney in our area. The next thing that's out of her mouth, she says, "Mom, can we file a class action suit against Hollywood?" And I had to wait for a minute because she was so serious. But you see, what we're talking about is we're having a conversation about something that was inwardly painful for this child. Mm-hmm. How many of us as adults take our inward painfulness and don't even ask the question this 8-year-old did? Can't even get in touch with what's going on. And that's where I think what you're doing, the reason you started to do your show, the work that you do to help coaches, my gosh, if they don't need this, I don't know. But let's talk about this next level for people, because this is a pathway to freedom. Tell us from your perspective what you've seen in this area.
Well, in terms of, this is really, truly the heart of it. And it's that, you know, when you're not mindful, you're on what they call in the lingo, the default mode network. And this is your neurology. This is just like, I want this, I'm going to do this. This is important, I'm going to take this. You're just kind of operating on automatic, and you're not really present for what you're doing. And that's no, I'm not blaming people for that, because that's just what the brain does. In other words, when you sit down to tie your shoe, you don't have to figure it out after you've done the hard work of figuring it out. It's in your muscle memory. Your brain operates in a way to take things out of conscious memory work, because that's hard work for the brain to do. So the brain is always trying to make your mind available for something other than what you're having to do right now. That's just, you know, when you first learn to ride a bike, it's hard, and you fall off and you get hurt. And if you fall off and you get hurt and you go, forget this, this is painful and dangerous, and you never get on the bike again, then you never learn about the freedom that you can have and the places you can go and the adventures you can have that you couldn't have otherwise. Yeah. And so it's a matter of which are you connected to. Do I want the freedom adventure discovery, or am I more connected to the possibility that this might actually be uncomfortable and hurt for a little while? Yeah. So it's really what lights up for you the most in that way. One leads to freedom, the other leads to less, it's just less freedom in a way. Now there's another side to this, which is the capacity to choose. There's a famous quote by Viktor Frankl, which is, you know, between stimulus and response, there is a moment. There's a moment. And in that moment is the power to choose. And in that choosing, there is freedom. So and taking this all the way back to a conversation, if someone is talking to me and they're really upset, I can say, "Oh, well, that's terrible. Tell me more," which is fine. I can also take a step back and just notice, oh, this person's really upset. I can ask them about more. I can comment about the state that they're in, or I can put my arm around their shoulder and say, "I'm here for you." Which of these would be in best service of my companion here? And then you make a choice. That's freedom, having a choice. And if you're not aware of that choice, you're not free. Yeah. So that's what mindfulness does, is it gives you the space internally to make better choices.
And I love that you quoted Viktor Frankl. Such a teacher for me. In, again, a book somebody gave me many years ago that I didn't read right at that time. But thank you for all that you do, Brett. Please just take a moment and let everybody know again not just how to find out about you, but your show and the many things you're doing to really help us all on that pathway to freedom.
Right. So that you can find out, you can get in the newsletter at connectedconversation.com. And then my main coaching page, which is bretthill.coach, where I can meet with people one-on-one to see if there's a fit there. I also do the mindfulcoachmethod.com, which is teaching coaches. And I just started a brand new association called the mindfulcoachassociation.com. And so it's Mindful Coach Association, where anybody who's a coach or helping professional who values mindfulness in their professional life and their work can join that for absolutely free. We have meetings every week, and so, or every other week, and it's a ton of fun. So there's lots of ways to engage. Get on one of my lists and you'll find out ways to connect, and you can land in the one-on-one work or the coaching work or the community. Lots of ways to engage.
Thank you so much, Brett. Last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Take a moment, take a breath, connect to the great beauty and goodness around you, then walk through to your next moment connected to that, and notice what changes.
Thank you. Brett Hill, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for tuning us in and turning us on. And remember, we are clearly talking about a pathway to freedom. All it takes is one step. That's it. Just takes that one step and you're on your way. Thank you, Brett. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much.
Thanks to the best audience on the planet. We'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.